to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source. Hello, and that's right, it's Hacker Voice Radio for another episode on the 1st of February 2006. We're joined here, as always, with Planet Lave.
Hello.
And it's been an interesting day for me, but I won't talk about that. Let's go straight into Hacker Voice news. We're proudly announcing the upgrade to LucasAid's hacker status to our official news hound of Hacker Voice. He has earned that title more than anything by collecting news stories for us, and you know, we had a word with him a few moments ago about it, just to thank him and to let him know. And it's much appreciated that people take time out of their busy schedules to you know, donate a bit and contribute to the scene. That's what it's really all about.
Hell yeah.
Yep. And
I was just a little bit distracted there, because as I was telling you offline just a couple of minutes ago,
yeah,
I managed to do something to my computer and break all the MPEG playback.
Yeah,
I've just actually fixed that.
Oh, fantastic.
So I was a little bit distracted because I double-clicked a test file and then boobs came up on the media player. And
lovely.
You know, I had to look at them.
Yes.
So, yes. LucasAid,
yeah.
Top newsman, very hard worker. We fully appreciate everything you've done, mate. Thank you very much.
So, on behalf of me and Hacker Voice, I'd like to thank you, and I hope you, you know, enjoy your new job role. It has many job fringe benefits. You know,
the pay's not so good.
It's not so good, but I guess, you know, it's always good to contribute and get respect in return for that. So, in email news, we have received a email from Stack Smasher today. I did forward that on to you as well, I believe.
Yeah.
The email is as follows. I love the show. Do you think it will be a podcast feed in the future? Something like a simple RSS feed? Keep up the good work, Stack Smasher. And his signature is, if you see me laughing, you better have backups. Which I love. And thank you for that email. And in response to that, yes, we are syndicated on a few podcasting websites. As well, we do have a RSS feed, which can be found at www.hackervoice.co.uk/feed.xml. And I did send him a reply to that as well. So, yeah. To answer that question, we do, and we are. So let's see what's in the news today. I guess I just want to start off with talking about a I guess it's a Newsnight documentary that was on last night. I don't know if you caught it.
But I didn't.
You didn't. No. It was about basically the status of this country as it is now, regarding privacy, security, and citizen liberties. As in, they were basically poking holes at the ID card scheme. They were poking holes at the huge amount of security cameras. And they were basically saying that the country is going into shit because the government are basically, it's a non-democratic system whereby the government are taking control over human liberties and going straight into the whole police state with a global UK-wide database system. Now, this is something that it's been a hot topic for us over the past three episodes. Over the past three seasons, and it's very interesting to actually see these viewpoints being raised on mainstream news media. And also, what I've got to summarize what my impression was is that everybody that was on the other side of the argument was called a liberal or a libertarian. Fighting for liberal issues. Now, I think that's fucking insane. Why they have to categorize somebody as being a liberal? It's they class that as being a bad thing always. And for example, take a look at the USA. I'm guessing that's your phone ringing in the background.
It was. Yeah. It just got mysteriously unplugged. Sorry about that.
Mysteriously.
But the USA.
Yeah, they class everybody that's against whatever is happening, like the ID card scheme, the 24,000 innocent children that were held in the DNA record system without any kind of way of removing that and everything like that as a liberal thing, where in fact it's not. It's just a case of actually. Saying, wait a second, guys, our rights and liberties are being taken away bit by bit. And in fact, the woman that was on there, that was on the air quotes liberal side, was actually voicing pretty much everything that we say on this show. I don't know if anybody actually caught that last night, but if they did, I'm sure they'll know what I'm talking about. And it's it's a bit fucked up. What's happening now is it just confirms that I'm not complete paranoid, and everybody that says anything about that is absolutely not paranoid kind of freak. And to contrast that, I would ask everybody to visit our front page, that's www.hackervoice.co.uk, and do a refresh if you have a cached copy of the front page, and to view our new front image, which is basically an image of World War II Jewish identity badge. And a quote from David Blunkett that says, "No one should fear correct identification." And if you like to listen back, and I would recommend that you listen back to episode 59, I believe it is, on the 11th of November 2005, you will figure out exactly why that's there. I don't know, do you have any comments about that image?
I thought it was damn cool. Yeah. Some of your finest work, to be honest.
Thank you.
Very, very good stuff. It fits perfectly together.
Nobody should
care. Image in the quote.
Yeah, nobody should fear correct identification if you're Jew, gay, Christian, or otherwise. And now it applies to everyone, To be quite honest, the whole thing speaks for itself.
Yeah. It's bloody insane. I'm quite pissed off. I missed that news night.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Oh,
with you.
Yeah. I mean,
it sounds fantastic.
I wanted to actually get in touch with you, but I didn't know what you were doing and so on. So
yeah, and I rarely pick up the phone, as was just demonstrated. God, what time is it on?
Oh,
would
straight
have been like 11 o'clock.
Half an hour to an hour straight after the show. Yeah.
I was probably playing on a Nintendo DS.
Probably.
Very important business.
Yes.
I'll have to see if I can get a copy.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody must have somewhere has a copy of that.
If anyone's listening, they've got a VHS copy or got some swanky DVD copy or captured it to MPEG or whatever, let me know, because I would love to see that.
Yeah, definitely.
And like you say, it is kind of a bit of a shock to see it raised in the mainstream media, because it is seen as quite a paranoid topic.
Yeah.
There's a few websites dealing with it, but they are kind of small movements. No matter how many people they get on board,
yeah,
they are seen as like a bit weird.
Yeah, it's not right, is it?
Fall under that category. It's not right, because it's not like we're fighting for some magical new rights that we think we should have. We're just fighting to defend what we've already got and what so many people have sacrificed so much for. You know, this is our lifestyle and we want it to stay the way it is.
Yeah.
Why should it be eradicated by our own government?
Yeah. And they're pretty much trying to say that the ID card scheme will pretty much solve everything, if not the fucking, the climate change. That's basically what was said last night, and it's stupid that they even considered selling this thing as a way to stop terrorism. I mean, for fuck's sake, look at what happened when the London bombings happened. Every single one of those geezers would have had an ID card.
Yep, a full valid one.
Yeah, so, wait a second.
Not like they'd have had to fake it. They were full British citizens.
Yeah.
Fully entitled for passports, ID cards, Oyster cards, all of the lovely stuff we're getting rammed down our throat.
So, you tell me, how does that stop terrorism?
Yeah.
It doesn't stop it. Wait a second. One bit, yes. Doesn't make them think, oh wait, we got this ID card, fuck it, you know. Oh.
They might know who I am after I'm dead. Oh, well, I better cancel the whole thing.
Listen guys, let's call the whole thing off. You know, these ID cards, they're such a deterrent, you know. What do you think? Yeah, let's just go down to the pub, alright.
Play some pool, forget it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Think about it another day. Anyway,
it's so bad.
Yeah, if at all, they would be actually for the ID card system. But, well. And I guess in the news stories, I didn't get too much time to actually take a look at the ones that LucasAid posted up. Do you want to talk about the sex study one? I don't know if you've read it.
Of course I do.
Yes, I thought you might.
I read it. Basically, because I saw Luke's aid post, I didn't find this on my own, but I did have a quick read through it before the show. Obviously, the first one on the list, with sex in the title, grabs my attention. So, it's from Sky News, and they say, sex study, are you up for it? The sexual fantasies of men are being investigated by a team of psychologists aiming to produce a definitive international study. The experts hope to find out how often men think about sex and what they fantasize about, no matter how deviant.
Yeah.
They say the results may even explode oft-quoted statistics, such as the one that men think about sex every 7 seconds.
Uh-huh. Sex.
The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, sex. The Sexual Thoughts Project, an anonymous online survey for those aged 18 to 90, is the lead by Dr. Mitch Waterman of Leeds University.
Uh-huh.
And he says, nothing is off limits. Bestiality, rape, sadism, children, group sex, because they have no real idea about how routine or disturbing men's fantasies can be.
Well, I can sum this up for them. Very. You know?
I was amazed that they put children on the list.
Well,
I mean, I'm pretty weird, but Jesus Christ.
To be honest, they have to, because it's a scientific survey.
Yeah, if you're going to get accurate results, then you're right, nothing's got to be off limits.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, that is the case for a number of people. You know, their sexual fantasies is to have with sex with children.
Those weirdos are out there.
We have discussed this on past episodes, whereby I've come with a very, very simple solution for that.
Doesn't it involve a sledgehammer and their skulls?
Yes.
I find you guilty. Wallop.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go to the Leeds University site and join in on this. URL for that is www.psych.leeds.ac.uk/sexual-thought-study.
Sweet.
Or you can just go to our forums, look for LucasAid's news post,
yes,
follow the link to Sky, and then follow the Sky link to the Leeds University. I was thinking of filling it in.
Yeah.
However, with all the recent stuff about the US government demanding search results from MSN, Yahoo, AOL and Google, even though this is allegedly an anonymous search, an anonymous survey, I wouldn't be surprised if the government said, right, we want the results and the IP addresses of the weirdos who filled them in.
Well, I've got
He likes dogs.
I've got a solution for that. There's a number of solutions, one of which could be a proxy, but I would say no to that one. One is go to your local internet cafe. For now, you are able to actually anonymously use a computer in an internet cafe. And to wise everybody up listening, that may not be for very long. You may need to use an identity card to actually use an, a computer which will be tracked, which computer you use, how long you use it for, and which website you've, which websites you've been on in internet cafes. Now, for now, you can go ahead and do that. Or, if you have access to a laptop, change your MAC address and go on somebody's open AP and use that. Secondly, would be using Tor as a way to route yourself across the internet anonymously and fill this survey out. So there's a few simple solutions to basically do that if you feel in any way threatened or discouraged to do that, because at the end of the day, you in some ways truly aren't anonymous, because just by that web page loading, you have revealed your IP address. Oh my god, hacks.
It's some kind of crazy voodoo.
Yeah. And for some unknown reason, Firefox has crashed out on me, but never fear, for I is here and I have killed the process.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
You could also go around your friend's house who you really hate secretly and just click all the buttons that say, I like fucking hamsters.
I like group sex with dogs.
And kids.
Pack sex.
And, yes, traffic wardens. And Nazis and all the bad things in the world.
I like having sex with people on the internet. That'll get there.
Yeah.
I like having
all those internet people are weird.
With inanimate objects. No.
Inanimate objects.
Yeah.
Whoa, what a nice chair.
I like having sex with contemporary music.
It's the only way I can get off.
Or maybe dead people, I guess.
It would be interesting to see this survey and just what's not on there.
Yeah. And what you can think of. That's not on there.
I'm assuming it's not a load of tick boxes that say tick all the things you like to fuck. Dogs, kids, old men's hats, etc. It would probably be like something you have to write and you have to fill it in. And I like doing this to this while someone slaps my head. Because if it was a big long tick box, I'm sure I could think of something like necrophilia.
Yeah.
But they haven't put down there.
Well, I would assume necrophilia is in there. Because it's actually quite a known fetish, you know?
Is
as
it?
As well as... Yeah, it is.
Is it very big around your way?
Well, in my abode, yes. You know, the first thing I look in a girlfriend is how dead she looks. You know. Darling, you're not cold enough. Where's the rigor mortis?
Oh, dear.
No, I mean, obviously not, but... It, such as, you know, shoe fetish. It's pretty much as common as like, being tied up and shoe fetish and being tied up and fucked by a machine or something like that, you know.
Necrophilia is that common?
Yes. And,
I'm going to all the wrong parties.
Yeah, suffocation as well as, you know, that. It's actually quite a very common thing to play around with asphyxiation during sex. I mean, I'll own up to it. I have a very, very adventurous sex life, and we try a lot of things.
He means he and his girlfriend. Him and me.
You're in it. We won't talk about that on the show.
Me and Belial have a very boring sex life.
Yeah.
No sex at all.
Damn it.
Well, I like it. Oh, going off on a tangent on this one.
Yeah.
As always. I've got to take a look at that
Yeah.
survey, though. I'll do that after the show.
Yeah, and cheers for that, finding that, Luke Zaid. And in another story that's been posted by our news hound, new bid to tackle spyware surge. PC users are getting help to tackle with the rising tide of spyware. Five computer security firms are joining groups in a common naming system for spyware. And this was a story we actually talked about before, so I guess the story by BBC News is a bit old.
I think they might have just updated it and changed the date.
Yeah, we talked about this before, so there's not much need to repeat it, but yeah,
it's a good basically thing. Lots of firms putting money into sending spyware down the toilet.
Precisely.
That can only be a good thing.
And moving on to the next story, ID theft contained, says study. American losses almost £32 billion to identify theft in 2005 finds research more than 4% of Americans suffered ID theft. Pardon me. And on average, a loss of $6,000 worth of dollars to crime, revealed a study by the Council of Better Business Bureaus. The council said that the problem of ID theft was being contained and most victims of it suffered no financial loss at all. The research also found that few instances of identity theft occurred as a result of internet use. Pardon me. Net losses, it would also reveal that the number of people who had their identity stolen in 2005 in the US fell to 8.9 million. However, because of the average amount of people lost their ID, lost to ID fraud rose by 1,134 dollars in the last year, and the total loss to crime stayed largely static. The research did point out that the vast majority of people who had personal details stolen, 86%, lost no money at all from the crime. So it looks like that, apparently from this study, that ID theft is being contained. I wouldn't vouch on that. You know, always be aware to, you know, it's just a study. It could have been financed by anyone. So take everything, any news story, even the news stories that we talk about, with a pinch of salt, as always.
Yeah, don't get complacent just because one news story says, oh, it's all right, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, stay paranoid.
Yeah.
Is my advice.
Yes,
keep
definitely
shredding your bank accounts. Keep taking every single precaution, just the basic steps.
Yeah, don't take those pills.
Yes. What, the blue ones from the internet?
Yeah.
I just took three. God, just had a flashback to a conversation I had outside a pub once, where three strangers were discussing Viagra.
Right.
And its various results. And I was standing there having a cigarette going, I've never tried it. How was it for you? Oh, it's crap. And just strange to hear three strangers describe their erections without, you know, any real kind of coaxing into the subject.
Yeah. Well, it's actually
talking about Viagra.
I don't know, it's not that good, but
you've tried it then.
Yeah. It's a bit weird the way it works. It actually works best when you're just about to have sex, which is weird because I would guess, you know, the drug is meant for people that can't get an erection, and for those of you who are in a very young or youngish sexual state,
that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, it works very or even too well. And with surprising results.
Surprising results?
Yeah, as in you can't fucking get it down for, like, the next day.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say, like, a rabbit came out the end or something like that. That'd be surprising.
Well, you know, you'll find that you ejaculate a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Like, fucking, you know, emptying the sack sort of thing.
Your testicles turn inside out.
Yeah.
Empty.
Just a sound effect for all the non-visual listeners.
Good God.
Yeah.
I've never tried it. I know a bloke who sweared by it.
Yeah.
Absolutely swear by it. It says it's the best thing ever.
It might make you blind.
might make you blind. I thought that was masturbation.
No, actually, using Viagra when you really don't need to use it tends to make you go blind because the drug separates the back lining of your eye from its blood source. Because basically what it does is it just makes all the blood just like double up. It makes your heart go mad and stuff. So, you know, you could literally die from taking too much or simply from taking Viagra if you don't need it. And thoroughly consult your GP before you even attempt to do anything stupid like that. Obviously, if you are having erectile problems, I would... if we started, like, you know, fucking becoming that, like, what is it...
Like Dear Deirdre.
Yeah, Dear Deirdre shit. well, for our unnamed listener, if you are having erectile problems, I would thoroughly consult your GP and take a look at basically your diet and the kind of things that you're taking into your body.
And here's a pamphlet.
Yeah.
All about getting a boner. Yeah. Actually, it's a porn mag, but it should do the same job.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Another random tangent.
Yeah.
What was it? ID theft into erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
That's probably a new one.
Yeah. I mean, for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even for us, that's a pretty random, weird tangent.
Exactly.
Sorry, my fault. My mind goes in
no
directions. Not never forward.
Never a problem.
Sideways.
And... I guess in file sharing news, do you want to talk about this one or?
Yeah, I'll take this one.
Cool.
Again, courtesy of LucasAid,
yeah.
Our news hound. From the Register, ISPs have been ordered to reveal software file sharers. Now, the English High Court has ordered 10 ISPs, including British Telecom, Tiscali, and Tullywest, to reveal the identities of 150 file swappers who have been accused by the Federation Against Software Theft, or FAST, of illegally uploading software to peer-to-peer networks such as Kazaa. Now, the ISPs have 14 days to comply. Once FAST receives the data, which will be customer names and addresses, it will decide whether to sue for damages or bring private prosecutions that could result in prison sentences of up to 2 years and or unlimited fines. Holy fuck.
Lovely. God.
If you've been uploading to Kazaa, listeners, it might be time to pack up your shit and move house within the next 14 days.
Yes. Or get yourself a lawyer.
Yeah, start calling, start finding good lawyers.
Yeah. See, I like to upload to Kazaa fast with Bulldog Broadband. You get the little pun there? No? Because
no.
Fast is the name of the federal agency against
Federation
software.
Yeah. Yes, very good.
Yeah. And luckily, you know, my ISP is not one of those, so I've got nothing to worry about.
Well, it's 10 ISPs, and it names...
only a few of them. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
fuck him. I don't give a shit. They can send anything through my letter. At this moment in time, I'm pretty much able to cope with anything. Even a 2 years prison sentence or a limited fine.
This is absolutely crazy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that whole thing of companies turning over on
the
users. It doesn't sit well with me at all. Whether it's the stuff going on in the States with the search engines or this stuff that's going on over here. And 14 days to comply, they're just going to roll over.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not even think about saying no.
They can...
yes, sir. Can I have another biscuit?
They can sucketh my balls.
Be an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah.
None of them, I reckon right now, will have the balls to say no. Or even delay it.
And the news story goes on to say a 12-month investigation by FAST into the covert sharing of software by PC users highlighted 150 suspected uploaders, people who put copyright software on the internet, file sharing networks, including Kazaa, and offering them to others without permission from the copyright owners. To catch the uploaders, the investigators continues to search into peer-to-peer networks for popular software products. When produced names matches were found, downloads of the file sharing software were completed to check and match the descriptions. Fast recorded providers' IP addresses are ready for application for disclosure to the High Court. Fast does not know how many people downloaded the software. Their copies might have been downloaded by one person. There was at least Fast's investigator or a million people. Legally, it does not matter. The copyright designs and Patents Act of 1988 was amended by a directive from Brussels to suggest that uploading of such material to Kazaa is a criminal offence. And do you want to carry on with that?
Sure, yeah. Quote here from let's have a look. The Copyright Designs and Patents Act of 1998 says that a person who infringes copyright in a work by communicating the work to the public otherwise than in the course of a business to such an extent as to affect... Oh, my God, what the hell is this written in? Is this English?
Probably not. It's lawyer speak.
It's kind of legalese. Then in the course of a business to such an extent as to affect prejudicially the owner of the copyright commits an offence if he knows or has reason to believe that by doing so he is... Oh, my fucking Christ. I see why you wanted to switch over there, but that's not English. That's just a random bunch of words.
Well, I looked down and I thought, shit, I'm going to struggle on this like a bitch. And I struggle on just standard normal.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
God, ugh, I feel dirty now reading that, all that legal speak. I need to take a shower.
Yeah.
They're going after the uploaders. I always think if you're anyone who is part of the groups who get movies before they're released and software and crack them and upload them, whenever they read a story like this, they must shit bricks.
Well,
absolutely shit it.
Honestly, I know a few people that are in that scene, and they're very, very good friends of mine. And to tell you the truth, this would not affect them one bit.
They're all right, yeah.
The principle of the fact that they understand what they're working with, and they understand the seriousness of how to protect themselves in a situation of privacy, i.e., the scene.org or .com, I think it is. That just gives you a small insight to the world of the cracking and ripping scene, and one of which. People is a very good friend of mine. He operates in the UK, and I won't reveal his handle or anything like that. But he's, you know, he knows his shit basically. So you know, 0 day movies and stuff like that. If they had them, they would know how to upload them and what. And the structure of it all works very differently. This would not affect them at all. This basically affects. Basically the standard user, you, me, whoever else may be using this and actually has downloaded an episode or a movie or an MP3 and then is in their shared folder, and then somebody else searches for that and uploads a portion of that file from them. That's basically what's happening there.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. Because to be quite honest, no 0 day clan or group would ever directly upload to Kazaa. It works in a completely different method of basically trickling down rather than trickling up or sideways, if you see what I mean. The distribution of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and therefore limiting their exposure to precisely, all this kind of flack. Yeah. Good on them. Stay safe, boys, and keep cracking.
Yeah. And just to finish off the rest of the article, some ISPs provide users with different IP addresses, such as, obviously, dynamic IP addresses, as opposed to a static IP address. Most of the types of IP addresses can be traced to an ISP, since even dynamic address IP addresses allocated will be within a certain range. But to ensure that the suspects are caught fast, time-stamped every IP address at the point of identification. Accordingly, ISPs need to match their customers with IP address at a specific date and time. So if you are one, if you are provided by an ISP that does not do that, you may be, we may be let off scot-free, because in effect you could be charged for something you've never done. You know, Ms. Smith or something like that could have for some time had that IP address, and at that time could have been traced for that use, if you see what I mean, seeing as it's dynamic. One day you may have the IP address, one day somebody else might have it. So
they check in with the ISPs to see
if at that time it was used. Possibly, yeah.
To see
but
who it was leased to during
yeah.
a specific time.
Yeah, but if the ISP hasn't been doing that, then that's where that issue could be raised.
Yeah, if they're not keeping the logs of it, then they're screwed.
And also it says they've acknowledged that some suspects may escape capture of their ISP no long if their ISP no longer holds the data that machine that matches the customer's IP to an address at a particular time. So basically what I've just said now, ISPs hold such data no longer necessary. So basically they're not really enforced to hold our data. In some cases that will be a year, or in other cases it may be as much a shorter period, perhaps 90 days. The investigation captured data over a 12 months period. This investigation problems should be largely disappear, blah, 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 blah. You're basically fucked if you've been stupid enough to do this. And if you have, you probably wouldn't have even known, because your shared folder would upload anyway, because you become a node of that network. So,
yeah.
You know, pretty much, don't fucking worry about it. If you are an uploader, then just, you know, keep shtum. And if you do get a letter through your door, may the best wishes of my best wishes go with you.
Good luck with it. Call the lawyer.
Definitely.
Don't fuck around, because they'll know you to the wall. If they can, as the new poster boy of uploading.
Yeah.
Anyone they can find. Call the lawyers, let them sort it out. My advice for being in the shit on pretty much any subject.
Yeah. All Media wants new deal with search engines. A group of newspapers published. I think this is a story about Google being sued by some European news story thingy about how they're taking their business away by providing free internet search engines and stuff like that. This is basically summarizing basically on my kind of prediction of how Google will take over news and media will completely change. It looks like this from this story that basically what's happening is that the old media sources are like feeling the strain and fighting back by trying different kind of legal methods, such as is always with these huge corporaticals. And they're trying to establish some sort of World Association of Newspapers. WAN has formed a task force to look at ways to improve the relationship between content creators and producers and user aggregators and search engines. So, yeah.
Well, that's just confusing. If they're going to get together and give themselves a fancy little name like WAN,
yeah,
they should pick one that's not already used in networking.
Exactly, because like
WAN to me, I'm thinking wide area network.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is the wide area network trying to sue Google? What's going on? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And in good ISP news, something that you talked about earlier on is that Bulldog is about to launch a 20 megabit broadband service. Bulldog is about to begin offering broadband speeds of up to 20 megabits a second from spring once it's complete the trials of ADSL2 Plus service, the broadband operator which will provide services direct to end users by installing its kit in BT exchanges, aka local loop, on
Unbundling.
Unbundling, or LLU, has been carried out trials of the service since September. Punters in London, Liverpool and Manchester have been taking part in a trial to see whether ADSL 2 Plus is stable enough to provide decent service. Because of the speeds of service, it can be influenced by the length of line, blah, 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 blah. We've talked about this before. And that sounds pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, it does come into some good statistics later on, which is something we have touched on before,
yeah.
Where it was still in the rumour phase when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Because sadly none of us had access to all this cool trial shit. But what they say here is homes less than 1 kilometre from the exchange are on average getting about 18 megabits per second. Now, those at 1.5 kilometre, that drops to 15. And at 2 kilometres, the speed drops down to 10 megabits per second. So it is very distance kind of limited.
Oh, yeah.
But any kind of increase in internet speed is a goddamn good thing. And they're probably going to work on that and get it higher. Once it's in, they get all the customers, giving them money, and they can work on it and shit like that. But
and to be quite honest, 10 isn't too bad for
10 sounds like a wet dream.
Because 10,
yeah.
Remember when LAN used to be 10 megabits?
Yeah.
I mean, even now, 10 is still okay for a company of a small size. 10 will do the job, and 10 for fucking, you know, ADSL is literally, as you just said, quoting you, a wet dream.
A wet dream.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm fine with going down on record as being quoted as that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you do sign up for ADSL 2 Plus when it does come out, no matter who your provider is, don't believe the hype that they'll give you in the leaflets that you'll get a 24 megabit per second download. It is very distance limited, but you will get a lot better speeds than you're getting currently. So.
Yeah. And if you are affected by that, what I would suggest is finding out where your LLU is and moving house.
Try and get the house next door.
Yeah.
Run a cable from your switch into the exchange. You know,
yeah.
Just leave a window open, bit of Cat 5, that'll do the trick.
Yeah.
Now that's some proper downloading speed.
Yeah.
Right on the backbone with the exchange. Of course, I'd never agree to it, but I live in a fantasy world, so never mind.
As most of us do.
Yes.
Yeah. And in Tycoon Monopoly News, a oil company has been charged with computer hacking. Matthew Melton, the...
Mellon.
Mellon, sorry.
Yeah, I just had to correct you there because I love that name.
Mellon.
Hi, I'm Matthew Mellon. How are you?
Yeah, I think I said I added a T there because I started reading the rest of the story and the rest started with a T. Matthew Mellon, the heir, is that heir? Heir?
Yeah.
Yeah. Heir to a $11.7 billion dollar, that's $6.6 billion. It always seems a bit less, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like bugger all.
Yeah.
Once you translate it into sterling.
Oil and banking fortune has been charged with a computer hacking offense over his alleged involvement in a snooping, bugging, and blackmailing ring.
Oh!
Always lovely shit. Mellon, 41, the estranged husband of Tama Mellon. Miss Mellon, the woman behind the Jimmy Choo shoes business, will appear alongside 17 other defendants in a court court later this month, the Sunday Times reports. The members of a group were arrested after a year-long investigation by the Metropolitan Police into a detective agency run by a former policeman. Scotland Yard's probe began after a tip-off from BT. The probe unearthed evidence that the suspects broke into NHS computers and stole medical files in order to finance blackmail. Investigators said that of the group, done false BT and NTL uniforms in order. Lovely shit. Uniforms in order. This is fucking top shit right here.
That's social engineering.
Yeah, right, uniforms in order to gain access to premises whereby they left bugs. Mellon.
Melon.
Chief designer at upmarket shoe firm Harry's, and a company he created 5 years ago, is charged with conspiracy to cause unauthorized modification of computers. This is under the new, CAS legislation or something like that, malicious computers, and is charged with conspiracy to cause unauthorized modification of computers. By the way, another wealthy entrepreneur, Adrian Kirby, 47, who made an estimated fortune of $11 million, that's £65 million, chiefly by running a waste disposal business, faces phone tapping, computer hacking, and conspiracy to prevent the course of justice charges. Scott, for fuck's sake,
Gelsthorpe,
31, of Keringham, North Hampshire, former policeman in Essex, faces 15 charges, of all 18 suspects to face an appearance by Bow Magistrates Court on February 13th. You know when they say Bow Magistrates Court, you know it's some serious shit. Because everybody that fucks up big time goes to Bow Street Magistrates Court.
Is that where the big dogs go to jail then?
Yeah. Ah. So,
I wouldn't know, not being a cockney myself.
So, yeah, they were obviously involved in some serious hacksawry and shit right there, but... But disregarded the rule number one of hacking, which is not to get caught. And they now face some serious fucking shit. You know?
I mean, how fucked up is this? Here's a guy...
Multi-billionaire.
Heir to a £6.6 billion oil and banking fortune, he says. He's
noob.
He's putting on a BT uniform.
Yeah.
He's breaking into NHS computers to steal medical files.
Yeah.
And none of these other guys he's running around with sound exactly poor.
Yeah.
The other bloke, Adrian Kirby, made an estimated £65 million running waste disposals. Jesus.
I need to get
into
that
there
shit.
I didn't think there was that much money in bloody waste disposals.
Yeah.
Christ. My God. And they still want to put in all these new NHS IT systems and so on and so forth. I've said it before many times and blah, 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 blah. But if they can't even stop someone coming in the door with a BT uniform saying, "Hello, I'm from BT, honest. Can I play with your computer for a bit?" Yeah, fine. You know, security begins at the door. If they're putting in all these new linked systems, he's only got to go down his local hospital in his uniform and say, I'm here to fix the phone. Get on that computer. That will lead him to all kinds of other shit.
But you see,
it's all linked together.
You see, they have a lot of money, so they can finance this kind of crap to be able to do these kind of scams.
They had really good uniforms.
Yeah.
Made by, like, Brooks Brothers of London Street, London, or wherever they're based.
Yeah.
Tailor made, fits like a glove. You're too smart to be a BT engineer, surely. I didn't know you wore trilbies. But $6.6 billion, my God, you're hardly short of cash there, pal. The fuck are you doing? How much money did he think he could make out of this? Must have been a lot in order to risk it.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Idiots.
You're in trouble.
Na 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 na.
Ha 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 ha. You're in trouble. But yeah, Bow Street apparently is not a nice place to go.
No. So,
who do they normally take down there then?
Ooh, all the kind of. Who went there? That geezer that tried to scam off multi-millionaire. Who wants to be a millionaire?
Oh, yeah.
Politicians and stuff like that, they all go down there for a nice little talk.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not exactly your local police station, then. That's where they take the very rich criminals.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, you're not coming out there the same person you came in.
You're going to get beaten with the yellow pages and bummed.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's standard procedure. So what else we got in news today?
Microsoft won't offer a patch before the My Wife or something Nycro or whatever it was called, Kama Sutra Black Worm or My Wife Worm hits on Friday. Overwhelming office documents will be destroyed, but a patch will not be released until its regular monthly patch release in February the 14th. So basically you've got to wait for February 14th for Microsoft to release a patch for this bug, which is fucking stupid. The blog offered no explanation to why the tool wouldn't be updated earlier, nor did Microsoft immediately respond to questions. Each month, Microsoft pushes a revised tool to Windows users who have automatically updates enabled for Windows updates and Microsoft updates. And Redmond, Wash-based company, has released blah 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 malicious software and mobile tool, and is scheduled to update every month. And it says that they will release the patch to only customers that subscribe to one of the Microsoft's pay security services, in which case your machine will have the worm removed in advance. So, yeah, bastards. Not surprised at one bit, at all, at one at all.
I'd like to say I fell off my chair in surprise.
Yeah.
Sadly, I didn't. No.
So, yes.
Absolutely weird. What a way to run a business.
Yeah. And just to round the news off, news story just come in. This is a bit weird. Fired from an IP law firm from anti-DRM views. a news story that tells us Inga Chelka. Can't pronounce that surname. Chernyak recently featured in Village Voice piece entitled "Code Warriors" has been fired from an IP firm in New York City. IP as in intellectual property, not internet protocol.
Yeah.
Pardon me. From having incompatible views, from the article, I was and still am a student interested in the scope of copyright laws and. Determined to pursue a career in the field. I wanted to gain an understanding in both of the theory of copyright in which my work with the FC provided and in its practice. The firm exposed me to the day-to-day operations of an IP lawyer, and I was nothing if not receptive of these lessons. I was baffled that someone saw fit to fire me over an expression of this descending views. Doesn't the field become richer when the wider spectrum of legal thoughts is exposed and encouraged? Well, apparently not, sir. Oh, well, you know, fucking, I'm not surprised. Honestly, if you're thinking of going into that profession, you've got to cover your tracks if you happen to have different views to the kind of industry that you are in.
Yeah. Opinions that aren't laid out in the company manual.
Yeah.
I caught a quick glimpse of this story. Yeah. It was on boingboing.net.
Right.
Is it boingboing.net or .org?
I don't use that too much, yeah.
That's a pretty good site. It's been good. A lot of information on there. Updates every day. So if you want some more info on it, go to those guys. Boingboing.net, I think. And look for February the 1st. And it should be one of the stories from today. Yeah, it's very strange. She was the leader of a local kind of anti-DRM group of people. And she was working for a company that was doing, I think, pro-DRM legal issues, something like that. So they gave her the boot because of a news story, as you said, in the Village Voice, where she spoke her mind.
Oh, well, it'd be nice to get an interview with her.
Yeah, we should see if we could hook that up, actually. Definitely. That'd be pretty cool.
Definitely. And also, just a quick word to all our listeners who may not be aware that IE7 has come out in beta state 2, and is available to download. I was testing this out today. Basically, it looks like a slimmed-down version of Firefox, but completely shit, and the buttons are fucking ridiculous to work with, to be quite honest. It's very annoying, and seems to be... don't know what the fuck they were doing with it, but if you want to play around with it, go ahead, download it from betanews.com or from the Microsoft website. You will, however, need to have a legitimate copy of Windows XP with SP2 or SP1. I'm not sure what the requirement is.
Probably but, two.
Yeah. So, yeah, try it out. My personal opinion is it's a piece of poo. I'm sticking to Firefox.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And that's about it from me.
One more news thing before we go. I just clicked the wrong link in my favourites, but it gave me good news because it took me to Channel 4's website for the It Crowd, which we were talking about just the other night.
That's
and
right.
Apparently, episode 2 is online now.
Oh, fantastic. I'll be downloading that straight away and mirroring it on our website.
If the Channel 4 lawyers are listening, not really.
No, really.
No, I mean, no, not really. No,
well, I don't see any problems with that, because they're it's available for free download on the internet, so I'm sure they would appreciate somebody mirroring it. What do you think?
I don't know. I'd ask their permission first.
Ah, fuck them. I'm already mirroring episode 1 anyway, so...
Belial had a knock on the head today. He doesn't know what he's saying. It's all lies. He's concussed, damn it.
Actually, that'll come in really handy tonight, because obviously we're going to miss that. Because we're going to be off...
Doesn't it air on Fridays?
Yeah, because we're going to be off down at 2600. And, guys, quick thing, if you are running Windows, make sure that before Friday your shit is sorted out, and make sure you don't have that virus, because you're going to be anally raped when you get back from 2600.
Oh yeah, update your virus protection, make sure you are ready for the shitstorm.
Yeah.
It'll probably be nothing, but you know how these things go, always be prepared.
Indeed. So, yeah, episode 2 is available. I'm just going to download that and watch that now.
Cool.
And then upload it.
One of the things I love about things like this, when they do something brave, like putting it on the internet before it's on the TV, the TV viewing figures might suffer by however many people have viewed it online.
Yeah.
But surely their web server can show them how many people have viewed it online.
Yeah.
So they've just got to add that to the TV figures.
Yeah. And not only that, the reason is I mean, I talked about this before, I think on Monday or something like that, and my belief is that they're doing this primarily because look at the target audience of this.
Yeah.
You know?
They're going to get a good word of mouth response.
I mean, come on, seriously.
So cool.
Yeah. So,
also, when people do very good moves like this, where they're not just using the old archaic methods of it's on Friday at 9, either be there or miss it. You know, when they're giving their end users, which is us people, choice as to how we want their product, which is the TV show, that just makes them out to be a cooler goddamn company, which I want more products from.
Yeah.
And I will be buying the DVD if the rest of the episodes are up to the standard of the pilot, because I thought it was great. Because quality show plus cool network who's not afraid of putting it out on the internet equals me liking them very much and giving them money voluntarily. So it is a good thing.
And I just want to add to my argument to why I think that they don't mind it being mirrored by us or a separate download source.
Yeah.
One, they don't feature any advertisements in the download.
That's true.
And second of all, you don't have to pay to watch Channel 4.
Yeah.
And also, they're actually offering it. I know it's a stupid statement to make, but they're offering it free to download. If you see what I mean.
Yeah, it's there anyway.
Yeah. So it'd be kind of stupid to assume that nobody would share this amongst their friends. And I think this is basically what they want to happen, is that me, you, whoever says, fucking hell, check this out. Do you have a source? Yeah, fuck it, don't bother download it from them. Here, you have it from me, whatever, you know?
So I think they'd make it more clearer if that was the case. Well, they'd say download it instead of stream it.
Well, you can still download it from them. You don't have to stream it. There is a source whereby you can right click and save as, sort of thing, instead of having to stream it. So if there was a case by them not wanting for you to do it, they would make it much more difficult for you to not be able to do this, if you see what I mean. So I don't think I'm taking much of a risk from Channel 4 from distributing this through my
means.
You're
probably not. You might get a cease and desist thing.
Yeah, and if I do, like,
pack it in or else, and then pack it in.
Yeah, if I do, then obviously I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, sure you will.
Oh, yeah, of course I will, because I won't.
I know you will. Yeah.
Anyway.
I just don't trust lawyers and big companies and stuff.
Sure. Cool. Well, that's basically it from me.
Great. Let's end the show. I want to watch this.
Yeah. If you have any pertinent news stories or wish to get in touch with us, our email address is radio@hackervoice.co.uk. If you wish for more information about this radio broadcast, please visit www.hackervoice.co.uk and feel free to register on our forums. As always, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow again. However, there will not be a broadcast on Friday, as me and Planet Lave will be at the 2600 meeting. If you wish to join us at the 2600 meeting, it will be held, the meeting place will be at Trocadero from 7 p.m. onwards on Friday.
And that's right at the bottom of all the escalators.
That's right.
I believe, yes. Keep following the escalators down until there's no more escalators going down.
Yeah.
And there you will find geeks.
Or if you come straight out of Leicester Square tube station, take the exit to Trocadero, and that will bring you straight to the meeting place. There's a weird clothes photo, kind of one of those, have a vintage photo taken place just to the left of you when you come out.
Cool.
And you'll see a bunch of geeks drooling over phones or whatever right in front of you.
Trust me, you'll know us when you see us.
Yeah. And I will end on Zerl again.
Cool.
With a song called The Government Has Failed Us. So, good night. Thank you for listening. Have fun and don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Unless
good night, kids.
Unless you're sharing with me. Good night.
Ta ta.
And as they become, develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close they have to go back and count the votes all over again.
My dreams are filled with screaming faces, dangerous places. I hear rich races judging cases. No traces of our past. We're all members of the mass. My class is your class. My brighter day, your brighter day. The struggle of life is the right way. Play the game, it's not the case. Get jobs, on family, they say. Run the scrap race. Illusionary facade. We must break away. We wrap the love, fuck the blacks. Download the stack and hope. We band together to cope with good folks. We're good folks. No more poking and prodding. We're weary. We're choking and dodging. I want equal rights, food and housing. I'm attempting to rouse you from your humbling slumber. Casts of light, like they play craps. While you are on the street, CFA grasp. Protected from the swag rap. It's reflecting the anguish of being trapped. I'm dissecting, from bling bling. I want your facts. What you ism, get off the ropes, make a decision. Half our dogs in prison. Money got us pushing to the limits. You counting days, and I count in minutes. I'm gonna start it, and you're gonna finish. Like an evil clown, they pass along. Calm in the land of Babylon. How long? Trapped in my computer like Tron. Past gone. Look to the future. New to one. Long for rights faster. Avoid disaster. We downloaded our plans last night on NASA. We'll blast for you. My parents. Tactics various. Nefarious. We are the fucking walrus. Can't you hear the downtrodden callers?
This government has failed.
Who's to say we can't have what we want? Who's to say what we get? Who decides how much? Is it the rich? It ain't the poor, but see, I know. If our mirrors only crack, it's different to the world. Who's to say we can't have what we want? Who's to say what we get? Who decides how much? Is it the rich? It ain't the poor.